The Boneyard. I don't know how many of you are Randy Travis fans, but as I was preparing for this message earlier this week, I was suddenly struck with one of his songs, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. Perhaps you've heard of it, Diggin' Up Bones. I'm sure most people would have heard "dem bones" running through their head after reading this passage. Lord knows it's used often enough with this bit of scripture. But no, what keeps going through my mind is the chorus of "Diggin' Up Bones." For those of you unfamiliar with the words, it goes like this. I'm diggin' up bones, exhumin' things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Well, tonight I'm sitting alone, diggin' up bones. Now why, you may ask, would this particular song and these particular words strike me? I think it's because, like the man in the song who's thinking about his lost love, that's the way I am. I dig up bones about the past, always thinking about the glory days, or what I should have done. And let me tell you, folks, those old bones are dead and dry as the bones Ezekiel sees in his vision. To use a popular saying, that dog won't hunt. And I know it. Yet there they are, dry bones. At the time Ezekiel has his vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, he and his people have been captured and taken away by King Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. The Israelites had made a poor bet that if they were to rise up against the Babylonians, the Egyptians would aid them. They lost that bet. Now they were left to dig up bones, wondering what would have happened if they'd only done this or that instead. Resurrecting memories of a way of life that was now dead and gone. It wasn't just that Ezekiel saw a valley of bones in this vision that makes it stand out from the beginning. It's that these bones were very dry. It begs the question then, why is dryness such an important part of this tale? Okay, they were bones, and bones, one would imagine, would be dry, right? That's probably true, especially in a desert. But in this case, the fact that Ezekiel said the bones were very dry is important. Let me tell you a little story that might help us understand this part of the scripture better. My mother-in-law has a fish tank. In this fish tank, there live several little fish and one little snail who keeps the tank clean. One day, she noticed that the tank had more algae growth in it than usual. Wondering why that was, she looked closer to investigate. The answer was easy enough to figure out. The snail was nowhere to be seen. With a sigh, she went about her cleaning, thinking she would need to buy a new snail. Moving the love seat near the fish tank, she spotted a little shriveled up dot on the carpet. It was the snail. She picked it up and inspected its dust bunny covered shell. Surely it was dead, she thought. But just in case, she put it in a little dish of water. Just a little while later, the shriveled little snail was revived and slowly making its way around the dish. What a miracle! Okay, so maybe it wasn't exactly a miracle, but I think it makes my point. The snail was very dry. It looked dead for all intents and purposes. We read that the bones in the valley are very dry. To Ezekiel's eyes, they are dead. Yet God asks the question, can these bones live? I'm sure Ezekiel's thinking that there's no way bones as dry as these could do anything but lay there. But he replies instead, O Sovereign Lord, you alone know. A very diplomatic response. One we've probably used ourselves when asked, can this marriage be saved? Or can this financial situation be turned around? Or can your life be made better? While we would like to say unequivocally, yes, what we see around us makes us think, no way, it's just not possible. Ah, but you see, we're thinking about the bones as they are, seeing what they used to be. We're like the man in Randy Travis's song, exhuming the past and reliving the good old days. Not God. He commands Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones as they are now and tell them what God has planned for them. God, through Ezekiel, tells the dry bones that they will be raised up and live again. And that's exactly what happens. As Ezekiel prophesies to these very dry bones, they rattle and shake, coming together to lay upon the ground, whole, but still not alive. Seeing the bones come together and be covered by muscles, tendons, flesh, that would have been something to watch. I've grown up watching sci-fi films. I remember the classics like Jason and the Argonauts, where the crew is forced to fight living skeletons. And over the years, as the film industry has evolved, those living skeletons the Argonauts fought have given way to cinematic cyborgs like the Terminator and CGI humanoids like NS5 and iRobot. But what Ezekiel saw would have been beyond anything Hollywood could create. As we've already pointed out earlier, these were very dry bones. There was no possible life left in them, and no Skywalker Light and Sound Company to work their cinematic magic on them. Yet, even after they were put back together into entire bodies, they still weren't alive. Something was missing. God had put the physical remains back together. They grew, so to speak, but they didn't live. What was missing was the breath, the spirit. A person without spirit, without a passion for life in some form, is a person only existing, going from day to day doing what must be done, following a set routine without thought of how much is missing in the quality of that life. A person without spirit is as dead as those flesh-covered bones in Ezekiel's vision. They're circling the wagons, pretending to invite others into their life, while always digging up bones, seeing what used to be and what is now, but never imagining what God could have in store for them if they open themselves up to the Spirit. For Ezekiel, seeing these bones be put back together and covered would have been amazing in and of itself. But God wasn't finished. Ezekiel is commanded to prophesy a second time. He must prophesy to the breath and tell it to breathe into these slain, that they may live. What rises to its feet is nothing short of a vast army. It's not just a handful of people, a remnant of the faithful. It's a valley full of living souls, the entire house of Israel. This large body of people had been slain, according to Ezekiel. They were hopeless, believing they had no future. They clung to what used to be and saw around them nothing but suffering. How often have we thought that about our own lives? We've had our loves, our livelihoods, our dreams shattered. We've been hurt by those who vowed to help us, by those who said they believed in us. We see nothing around us to even suggest that there's a possibility we can be resurrected. Let me tell you another little story. When I left seminary, I was a broken woman. With more debts than money, my husband and I moved back to my hometown with our tails between our legs. We had no job prospects, no home, and only the goodwill of family to hold on to. I no longer trusted the church, nor did I want to get close to anyone. As for God, I wasn't on speaking terms with the divine being. We moved in with my parents, something I swore I'd never do, and I took a low-paying part-time job at Walmart. The bills kept coming, and we had to start paying back our student loans. All I wanted to do was sleep. Life looked pretty bleak. Flash forward 10 years. I'm now excited to get up in the morning because God gave me back my passion and true calling to spread His word through my writing and in messages like these. My relationship with my husband has never been stronger. We have a spirited daughter who keeps us on our toes, and another baby on the way. We're able to pay our first mortgage every month, and usually don't have to stress too much about meeting our other expenses, though we are still digging our way out of debt. So what happened in those 10 years that made a difference? It wasn't some miraculous change in our circumstances. In fact, we suffered quite a few more setbacks. From being evicted from our first apartment after moving back, to piling on even more debt as we struggled to find a new home. before things really started to look better. I didn't suddenly see God and find myself transformed from the untrusting, beaten woman I had been into the satisfied woman I am today. No, God pulled my dry bones together day by day until the day He could breathe His Spirit into my life and make me stand in praise for being resurrected. God didn't just dig up some old bones in Ezekiel's vision. God resurrected an entire people. The Israelites felt helpless and hopeless in their captivity. They cried out to God. In fact, you could say that their very bones cried out, and God heard them. God says to them through Ezekiel, "I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live." From very dry bones to a living nation, from suffering in exile to the eventual release of the captives, God saw the Israelites through it all. God heard their cries. Through Ezekiel, God spoke to their hopelessness and loss, resurrected their lives, and put the Spirit back into their hearts and minds. It would be easy enough to say that Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is a fascinating Old Testament story that has no relevance for us here and now, except maybe as a great sci-fi flick. It would be simple to believe that God spoke to the Israelites and later to the followers of Christ, but doesn't speak to us today. But all of that would be foolish. If the shriveled, dust bunny covered snail can live, if the defeated ex-seminarian can find a new purpose in life, then God can still raise the dry bones of those who cry out. All we have to do is pray our hopes, open ourselves to the breath of the Spirit, and stand.